Most guys do this secondary school mathematics. You stopped in the third dimension. You left it. And when you get to the fourth dimension, when you see calculations that some, look, you'll be afraid. Now, I was watching TV many years ago, and they talked about Albert Einstein and some of his contemporaries. One of them, his name was Kaluza. And they talked about the principle of, I don't know whether you know this. Me, I didn't know until I heard it then too. They call it supersymmetry. Now, those guys, they used to do their calculations in up to 11 dimensions. Do you get my point? That you are handling issues, there are 11 variables. That's why, as a mathematician, yeah, there's only one thing you can do, that's mathematics. If you are really into the thing. So they have many variables. Now, that day when I watched that thing, I always take instruction from simple things like that. I look at creation and I learn something. I say, prophecy is very simple then. Prophecy. It's very, very simple. That is to know the future. It's not hard again. This is what I mean. Suddenly it was not so fantastic to me. And I realized that God is not even trying to brag that he knows what will happen tomorrow. Because it's actually very simple. A good spiritual mathematician should be able to calculate it. Let me explain what I'm saying. If X is equal to 4, when Y is equal to 8, what will be the value of X when Y is 16? It's very simple. 8. That's prophecy. Do you know that? I've just given you a prophecy of what will happen tomorrow. That is, if two cars are traveling, one is going at 50 kilometers an hour, one is going at 100 kilometers an hour, and I can tell you where the other one will be when one gets to this particular place, all other things being equal. I'm prophesying. I mean, I'm giving you a prediction of the future. I can do it again. That's how come they can design. Hey, look, those things, you design equipment, design cars, design, you know, spacecraft, that's accurate prediction. You have seen the future. You say, if we ignite this thing will be on the moon in 2 months' time. I'm telling you. It's mathematics. It's a way to predict the future with the limits of the dimensions that you have. So when people like Kaluza said they could do calculations in 11 dimensions, I said, so if a small angel should be able to do it in about 5,000 dimensions, what do you think? And the good Lord, there is no limit to the dimensions for his calculations. Therefore, God watches a man. He does something. Checks 2-3 things that the guy has done, puts on the calculator, tell you, in 5 years' time, this guy is dead. In 5 years' time, this guy will prosper. I'm not cursing him. I'm not blessing him. I'm just telling you by simple predictions. That's the thing. So it takes all the moral issues, the earthly movements, everything, put them into maybe 55,726 variables, put them really together, and you arrive at a simple conclusion. And you know, it's an instant. You know, like an instant. No, but the spiritual things are real, though. I'm telling you the truth. So that's how God does it. Look, but this is the wisdom of God, really. Now, it's not that he can predict what will happen tomorrow. A good spiritual mathematician should be able to do that. All right? Now, this is what the wisdom of God really is. After Satan has calculated, that's why I got into this, and based upon his calculation, he has arrived at a product. The plan of God has been frustrated. That's what Satan thinks, based on his calculations. God will look, use the same procedure that Satan is, you know, using. At the end of the day, they establish the plan of God. I Paul said, if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord. They crucified him thinking that we have finished him. God said, you see, he closed the equation too early. When he got to that end, God said, there's one more step. You see, you didn't learn your mathematics well. Do the next calculation. Once they did resolve the next equation, they had established the wisdom of God. So God said to Satan, he said, dust shalt thou eat. I like the way this man said it. E.W. Bollinger, in this companion Bible. He said, what does dust shalt thou eat mean? Listen to this. Verse 14. Okay, no, two of them. He said, upon thy belly shalt thou go. He says, a figure of speech which implies the utmost humiliation. Yes, dust shalt thou eat says that it's a figure of speech which implies utter defeat. Later on, he explained that he was talking about a constant frustration of all the plans of Satan. Are you getting my point? Why I brought that issue up is that, you see, this is how God, one of the things that he does. Satan had calculated, say, with this one, we have frustrated the plan of God. God said, I need you to think like that, actually, that my plan might be established. That's why he catches the crafty in their own craftiness. The wisdom of the wise becomes the reason that the plan of God concerning them will be established. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. Listen, that is why Solomon, after everything, looked and said, fear the Lord, obey his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. You see, all this one was sitting and learning how these calculations work. He said, it won't help you. Do you get my point? Spiritual things, I say, yes, they can be resolved into calculations, but you don't have the capacity to learn them. So Solomon said, after everything, I have realized that the simple way out is what? Fear the Lord, obey his commandments. I think that is the whole duty of man, and you will get to where God wants you to get to. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, so I'm explaining something here. So he said, because of what Satan did, God's plan concerning his destruction was now established. Because as a result of this, this ignited the necessity for the coming of Jesus Christ, which the prophecy here, which God gave, is that he shall bruise thy head. That is, this will be the final destruction of Satan. Are you getting my point? That is, the coming of Jesus will be the final destruction of Satan. He said, I will put enmity between you and her seed. Now, that you will strike at his heels. What does that mean simply? I like the way Bollinger explains it. They were just talking about the temporary suffering that the Christ has to go through. And the way I also say it, because the heel is the lower part of the body. Are you getting my point? That one is on the earth. Every time it's moving, you know, the church is moving, marching on, it gets injured. I hope you are getting my point. I like one thing, who said, I think it was Pastor Koya that said this one also. I was talking about the principle of washing of feet. He said that what Jesus meant when he said to Peter, he said that he was washing disciples' feet, and disciples, we got to Peter, Peter said, I will not agree. And he said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. And then Peter now said that, in that case, Master, just get bucket, cuckoo bath me, pata pata. So that I will have the full part of you. He said, what he was saying is this. And I think I understood what he was saying. That every time you go, now this is a Jewish custom. This is how it goes. When Jesus said that he that has had a bath does not need anywhere to be washed apart from his feet. It was not a poem. Are you getting my point? And that was a proverb. It was a simple statement of fact. What I read in places and heard people discuss is that in their culture, because of the dust around, usually when you get, after you've walked from your house to another person's house, when you want to enter, they have a bowl at the door, all right? They wash the dust of the earth. You know, just like we have foot mats now, all right? You get to a house, you either remove your shoes or your slippers, or you simply wipe them on the foot mat, all right? What they used to do was to wash their feet. Are you getting the point? All right. Now, so, he now said to Peter that, look, you don't need a bath. Anyone who has had a bath only needs the feet washed. That is, you've had a bath, but in the everyday walk of life, no matter how much you have been bathed, your feet will gather dust. Do you understand the point? That the principle of washing of feet is a spiritual thing. That is, we have discussed the importance of truth and all that. As you live here, somebody will still try to sow tears into your heart. That is, your feet will get dusty. That's why when you get home, you know, that's why you have to learn to meditate therein day and night. All right? It's the washing of water by the word. Look, with all the one we have preached, as you live now, you will hear negative stories. You can't help it now. They will try to sow nonsense in your heart. Your feet gets dusty. Your head is clean. Are you getting my point? Because you are a child of God, you have indeed given your life to Christ. Your heart, your body generally is clean. But every day your feet needs to be washed. Are you getting my point? That is so. There is a constant washing of water by the word. Because you will pick up dust. Now, this is what I'm making. So, this is where I now see it for that reason. When God said to Satan that you will strike at his heels, that is, you will always try harassing the church. You will persecute the church. Are you getting what I'm saying? As they move around, there will be challenges to their faith. They will go through trials and temptations in all the attempts of Satan to make them deny their Lord. All right? But he said that in all of it, dust shall thou eat, and on thy belly shall thou go. All right? Bollinger explained that these were figures of speech, talking about the frustration that Satan will suffer and the fact that all his plans will eventually collapse. It's a decree of God, and let me just say this to the children of God so that you will understand it. There is not, look, listen, I like what Miles Monroe said. Miles Monroe said that you can make all the noise. People say Islam is advancing. It's the fastest growing religion in the world. He said, oh, that one is noise. He said, flip over to the end. You will not find Islam there. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That the conclusion of the matter is that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Do you get what I'm saying? So in your life, Satan can plot anything. God has decreed that his plans must be frustrated. Do you understand my point? The moment he stepped into that garden, tempted Eve, and God poured this judgment upon him, I think every child of God should realize that he has no problem again. Are you getting me? That is, all Satan tries to do is to make you deny the faith. Do you keep on saying this thing? And like, you know, Paul said, having done all, do what? Stand. And like Banky always says, the child that does not die must become an adult. There's nothing you can do. Once that child doesn't die, he must become an adult. Why? Because God has decided that all the plans of Satan for that child's life must be frustrated. Do you get my point? So all you need in life is just keep on holding on to the word of God, holding on to the faith of God. No, listen, let me say this again. Even if they say an ancestral curse, God said, I have placed that curse under a curse of frustration. Do you get what I'm saying? Are you following my point? If somebody vexed for you, curse you for road, God said, I have placed his curse under a curse. Are you getting my point? It must be frustrated. It must never stand. But there's something we're going to get to. Let's quickly go on to the matter, a few more issues in those courses. So I tried to explain the issue of the because. It's because of something that one does. Okay, I wanted to emphasize something again. That one of the earth. I think we'll still get back to that another time, somewhere along the line. He said, cursed is the ground because of you. I want to understand something here. What God was saying is that what the earth experiences is a product of what the people on it do. God said that, I am taking you to a land. He said, don't do what, let's just read that one. It will be good for completeness. That will be Leviticus chapter 18 now. Now, God was talking about the issue of defiling of lands. From verse 24, he said, do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these things the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. For the land has become defiled, therefore I have brought its judgment upon it, so the land has spewed out its inhabitants. And I told them again, in verse 27, he said, for the men of the land who have been before you have done all these abominations, and the land has become defiled. He said, don't do them so that the land, verse 28, will not spew you out, should you defile it, as it has spewed out the nation which has been before you. What am I explaining? God said what the earth experiences is a product of the attitude, the moral standards of the people that live upon it. Do you get my point? One nation I do not feel like at all settling in right now, not a nation, one continent, all right, is Europe. Now, I'm not a prophet, you know, because there are many other factors, all right? But when I watch every day how people stand up and say, right now, we have legalized homosexuality. I say, these guys obviously don't read the Bible or they don't believe it. Like somebody advertised on TV, they interviewed on TV once said, they said, what about, and this was a church, no, a church. Church, church. Church. They asked someone, one of the officials of the church, he said, well, they're about to ordain a homosexual bishop or something, you know, so. He said, well, St. Paul said, that they quoted, the reporter quoted something from the Bible. That, well, what does that have to, you know, what do you have to say about that? And the person said that, well, we believe that if St. Paul were to write his epistles today, he wouldn't write that, you know. They didn't tell me the story. I listened to it. I heard it. And I laughed. The land has become polluted. I shall not be in the pathway when he starts vomiting. Ah, church, let me tell you something. That is why you should run from Europe. Especially when, unless you see too many Nigerians, and they are always, those who go to church regularly and they are praying. All those where you look and you don't see Nigerians, run. when nobody is praying for them. Look, the destiny of a land is decided by three things. One, I told you before, the plan of God. Two, the behavior of the people. And number three, the prayers of the people. So when nobody is praying, oh boy, you have better disappear. Because whether you like it or not, the land is being polluted and it must of a necessity vomit up its inhabitants. God will not keep quiet and not pour forth judgment upon it. I'm telling you, once the laws of a nation say this is okay, only prayer we told the judgment to. I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. And let's just continue. Now, the same manner God spoke to the children of Israel at the time. Now, what I want to just, there's another scripture just to refer to that. When God said to them that the problem here is that the house of the Lord is not being built, he said, because of you, the earth is no longer receiving rain. He said, the sky has withheld its rain because of you. What was it that they did? They left the house of the Lord fallow. The point I'm making again from there is the fact that it is because of what the people do that the earth responds. That is what they do that actually decides what the earth will experience. It's so very important we understand this. You know, somebody was saying the other day that, I heard this one, there was a hurricane. No, not a hurricane now. Earthquake that happened in San Francisco. That was around 1994. Thereabouts. Later on, I read from Rick Joyner. I think it was Rick Joyner that said the epicenter of that earthquake was under a pornographic studio. Do you get my point? That was the epicenter. Now, I knew about the earthquake. I saw it, the broadcast on it then. But later on, I read Rick Joyner and referred to that same earthquake. Do you understand? One day, a friend of mine, he sent me a mail, one of my younger friends, when the tsunami happened in Indonesia. He quoted something I said years ago. Do you know? I said, when you preach so much, when people have listened to you for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours, there are so many things you have said, even, of course, you can't even remember them. He sent me a mail that when that tsunami hit, he remembered the last thing I said about Indonesia a few years ago. You know the truth? I couldn't remember prophesying about Indonesia. And it had to do with their persecution of Christians and Islam. There was something. I said, these people, they will see. So the moment the tsunami hit and swept 200 and something thousand people and killed them, this guy just sent me a mail say, what you said, though, it has happened. And you know, say, I'll not be a prophet. You know, I told you on Saturday, I know they see visions. You get my point? But when we, when we read some things, I mean, we just do the small calculation and it becomes obvious what is going to happen. So the young man said, till today, I can't remember saying it at all. But he just said, the moment that thing happened, he remembered that I said, these people, they have taken actions that will make the earth respond to them. Are you getting my point? Now, those things are very, very true. When you see too much natural disaster in a place, there's too much iniquity inside that place. Are you getting my point? The earth has a process for purging itself of noxious substances called human beings. When the iniquity of the earth was so bad, God looked and just opened the tap, and the whole earth was flooded, apart from Noah and his household. I hope you get that point. All right, let's read a few more things and be out of here. Now, I want to talk quickly. I've mentioned something about the curse upon Satan. Let me say something about the curse on the man, and then end with something on the curse on the woman. And then I hope we'll just leave the matter of chapter 3 alone and just close there. It's a curse is the ground because of it. He said to the man, in toil you eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you eat the plants of the field. That is the field now being that it's no longer the garden before. That's as opposed to the garden where he was. He said, by the sweat of your face you will eat bread, which again is a figure of the amount of toil you have to put in. He said, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now, what I just want to bring out from here is the principle of death, all right, that because of Adam spread onto the earth. You know, that is a physical, and this is an interesting part. I read this one from E.W. Kenyon, when he said that not just the earth, but the things in the heavens were touched by the sin of Adam. That was why Jesus had to cleanse the things in the heavens by his blood also. That is, the heavenly bodies also responded to the sin of Adam. Are you getting my point? Now, the issue of the earth now I'm bringing out is that, you see, things that happen on the earth, when things don't work well, all right? In fact, I like one thing Bollinger said, talking about this. He said, both thorns and thistles shall grow for you. He believes that that was the creation of the thorns and the thistles. And look, there's a principle. I believe that. I believe that for one reason. You see, And this is so important we understand. God has not stopped creating. You know, by creating is that. Now, he has put everything into the earth, all right, that will produce everything. So that when words, that's actually what I mean to say. When words are spoken, they still create things that probably did not exist before. Are you getting my point? Now, they are made from the things that are on the earth, all right? But they take a new form. Let me explain now. After God made Adam, from inside Adam, he brought out Eve. Do you get my point? A different form. So that's why I believe very strongly. You know, I first read this in one magazine. Yeah, I've read so many things. I don't even know where I read what. Now, I just remember the information. One scientist, and I used to say this, then when I read it, it was very interesting. Because when I started preaching the Bible, I would say something, and people would laugh, say, this one is very funny. I said, but I'm serious about what I'm saying. I said, I believe that some viruses and bacteria come from outer space. And people thought I was joking. And God knew that I was serious about what I was saying. Until one day I read somewhere about a scientist who said that he believes that the tail of some asteroids contain some organisms. Now, this guy is not a Christian. No, he's just a scientist. And then they showed patterns of outbreaks of certain diseases and matched it to when a particular solar body, all right? They matched it to when it came close to the earth, each time unfailing. I said, you see, those want to laugh. Come and laugh at me now. It's a pity. I wish I was gathering those materials and finding them when I read them. I said, this is true. That you see, things still come from the... Now, let's take spiritual perspective now. Things still come from the realm of the spirit, all right? Into this earth. That's why, you see, I'm a pathologist, and for that reason, I've read a lot about molecular biology, the pathogenesis, that's how diseases arise and all that. They talk about genetic alterations. I believe very much in it, all right? It happens. But I believe that, you see, you look at the earth, the genetic diseases of black men are different from those of white men, different from those of Asians. They are diseases that you will almost never see in a black man. But a particular group of Jews, they'll tell you that, oh, Sephardic Jews, they have this kind of disease. They'll tell you that, oh, this particular storage disease is found only, mostly, 99% is found in this group of people. Say, why? Did I tell you why? Because every time men sin, generations of people, all right, there's always a curse that they download from heaven. And it brings forth new creations in their bodies. HIV, I have thought about HIV, that virus. It's a recent development. I mean, I believe that. And I don't think it was made in any lab anywhere. I don't believe. Now, listen to me. People can say, you know, do you think that American and Australian scientists are spirits? Listen, they are human beings. That virus cannot, I don't believe it can be created by a human being. The amount of intelligence it displayed, only a spirit could have birthed it. And you know, the interesting part, I looked at it. I said, this thing, I think God looked, because God is just. People think that God is only love. God is not only love. God is also what? Just. That is, he does what is right. The only time mercy shows is when people enter into covenants with God, and based upon their covenant, they ask for mercy. So I believe that because of the things that happened, were happening on the earth, the degree of sexual perversion, judgment, people say God is not judgmental. Look, God is just. It's not a matter of being judgmental. A guy called judge does not have to be a wicked man to sentence you to death if you kill somebody. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm bringing out something here. Because I like to always end this thing on the power of the gospel of Jesus. That's why I talk about the resurrection power. He said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. That is, there is a power that can revert the bringing forth of thorns and thistles, of HIV, of plagues, of any kind of thing, including genetic problems that people have. Look, science at least has proven to us genes can mutate. And the power of the spirit also tells me that since they can move, the direction in which they move is decided by the force that's acting upon them. No, look, what I'm saying, I believe it absolutely, truly. In fact, that's why, maybe next or two Saturdays we'll get there. When we're talking about the power that's the purpose of God for the individual lives of Christians. Paul said that, you know what, all I want to know? I want to know him, that is the power of his resurrection. One scientist I read this one in Time magazine. They saw one man. He said he could do without food, that he has been doing without food and water for, I think, 100 years. I forgot the number of days. I read this one that's last year or the year before, Time Magazine, one of these Eastern religion practitioners, that he sat, he did not eat, he did not drink, for they gave the number of days, maybe like 100 days or 200 days. Of course, a natural scientist would laugh at that. So they decided to test the man. They got tired halfway through. But they said at least they had watched the man for like 2 weeks. He had not eaten, he had not drank. They were watching him, supervising. That is, it's your turn to watch this guru who said that he doesn't need need food and water to survive. After some days, they left the man alone. To me, it wasn't fantastic. I don't know. He just agreed with me that is. I said, yeah. If the man says he can do it, I don't doubt it. I don't have time to go and sit and see whether he did it, but I know that it can be done. I know that one is not a problem. Elijah went in the strength of a single meal for 40 days. One meal. Spiritual things, they become flesh. Nobody today they start. Are you getting what I'm going to say? When Adam sinned, God said, before now, these things were not there. Now they will begin to grow. That is, your actions have begotten something new. God has put the process of judgment on the earth. So that one just ignited the spiritual force. Things began to grow for Adam. Strange things. Strange things. I believe this passionately. Adam would have just planted and watched his crops grow. And will have harvested them at the appropriate time. They will have simply multiplied according to the principles of God. Are you getting my point? Plant a corn, it becomes 200. So the man will have just gone planted. Weeds will have respected the corn of Adam. I believe that. But that the man will have to weed every 10 days. Spray pre-emergence herbicides. It's called eating from the sweat. Are you getting my point? Of thy brow. Now, I believe what I'm saying. It's very, very true. But this is what we need to understand. Listen, this is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That there is the power of his resurrection, which people who are walking according to the purpose of God will experience in their lives. That is, you will find out that the man, you will realize it. In vain do I need to, wake up very early and sleep late. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That it's vanity that God gives to his beloved even while they sleep. Do you get my point? That all I will do is plant and water as God has commanded. And I am sure that God will give the increase. That the curse of Adam is not upon me because I have been redeemed indeed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is why you can't persuade me that because in Nigeria things don't work. It might be growing thorns and thistles. That is for the sinner. Are you following my point? If I have faith and do what the Lord said, I will see my fruit in his season. That's what he said. He said there is a man, a righteous man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In that law, he meditates day and the night. He said he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water that brings forth fruit in its season. He said his leaves does not ever wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Let me tell you something. When the Jews will come to Jesus Christ and say, what must we do to gain eternal life? They knew what they were saying. Because David had prophesied. They had sung those psalms. They didn't see it in their personal lives. Are you getting my point? They had read Isaiah. They had seen all those things. At the end, they now came to Jesus and said, please, explain. What must we do that we might experience Psalm 1? That we might gain eternal life, it sounds so nebulous. Are you getting my point? What they were saying was real. That is, what must we do that we might experience Psalm 1? What must we do that our leaves will never wither? What must we do that plagues will not come into our body? What must we do that we live to a great old age and not become sickly? Look, it was real. Are you getting the point I'm making here? That's the point. That new thing was created, but like I said, I'd like to end it on the power of the gospel. He said, if any man be in Christ, the Bible didn't say he is a new creation. Literally, he said, if any man is in Christ, a new creation. That's all he says. Some render it like this, and I like that. He said, if any man be in Christ, there is a new creation. I don't know whether you're getting the point. That is, God still creates new things in the life of that person. It's not only that he has become a new creature in Christ, but in his life, God creates new things. I like one thing my pastor said those days. He said, if you are disadvantaged in life, rejoice and be glad. Because the advantages of life are actually disadvantages to the spiritual man. You don't get around and say, that is, you don't have money, nobody is supporting you, you want to start a business, you are looking for a job, you don't know anybody. Good! Then you can experience the power of the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? Look, all this one of you have to wear a new suit, when friends are going to go for an interview, listen to me. You know, the day of the resurrection power of Christ Jesus, you will forget your shoes at home and you will borrow slippers and come in. You know, I told you the other day, I was watching a movie on TV. This guy, this is the funny part. I believe, just as you know, movies don't depict things very well. I believe, I would like to see where the power of Christ came into that situation. This guy was watching, in fact, the movie apparently is a new movie, This Pursuit of Happiness. Now, he was going for an interview that would launch him into a field of life where by which he was going to prosper. Are you getting the point? Now, the night before the interview, police came to arrest him while he was painting his house because he was so poor, he had not been paying his parking tickets. And he had to park wrongly to do small business he was doing. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So he mounted those parking tickets. The police could, you know, of course, the one he didn't pay, they came to arrest him. So he was in the cell overnight. By the time he finally arranged bail in the morning, it was a time for the interview. So with paint on his body, wearing a pair of trousers and just one loose jacket, all right? You know, how was it? Like just a leather jacket. Just wearing a singlet under. He went for an interview in an investment company. When it was his turn to be interviewed, the guy sat down and told the people that for the last 30 minutes, I have been sitting down trying to cook up a story to explain how come I'm appearing like this morning. So I've tried to cook up stories about team play, about dedication that will impress you guys. He said, but I couldn't come up with any. Therefore, I'll tell you what happened. He said, what happened? He said, I was arrested last night for not paying my parking tickets. I was released just in time to get here. So here I am. So the man looked, the man intervened and said, what will you say? That a man, you know, they asked, what were you doing when you were arrested? He said, I was painting. That's how come, you know, you see paint all over, you know the way it is. Paint all over his body, clothes, hair, body. He said, what will you say? Now, Will Smith acted him, so I don't know what that really happened, but it's a very funny part. He said, what will you say? That people came, you know, scores of people came for interview. And I employed a man who came without a shirt. The guy thought, he said, then his trousers must really be good. This is the point that I'm making. Without a proper suit, are you getting my point? They employed that man for that program. Where he turned out, they were going to appoint one person at the end of the day. He turned out to be the single person they appointed. Now, I'm using natural things to help you understand. Hey, you wear suits, you know, the way they match your suit. Sometimes I hear people talk about that, you know, appearance is what, I'm not saying appearance is not important. You are putting the cart before the horse. Get a good horse first. Are you getting my point? Then we can be decorating the cart. Are you getting what I'm saying? Maybe what he wants to draw. It is the horse that is number one. Some of the things that people say that Paul said, and Peter, you shouldn't wear jewelry. I read it again today while I was sitting down here. I just got there. I said, look, you are taking this out of context. He was saying that women should learn modest apparel. What is a modest apparel? That is, it is the inward man of the heart, that their character is number one. That you cannot impress a man with how well your hair is braided and the kind of makeup you use and the kind of jewelry you put on. Are you getting my point? Putting first things first. Look, you're reading context. That's what he was saying. That Christian women, no. They should be known not, you know, because, look, I don't believe you should have a reputation for how well you dress. As a woman, it's madness. Your reputation today, have you seen that woman talk to her husband? My God. Your reputation today, do you see how she handles her children? My God. See, that woman is so cautious. Go and read Psalm 30, Proverbs chapter 31. They describe what is real quality in something. If your reputation is that, you're the best dressed babe on campus, you don't say you decrease. You're not going anywhere in life. Are you going to know what I'm saying? No, I used to tell my students, I said, no matter how fine you find, if I ask you one question, you don't get and you're ugly. So I pick a fine babe in class. Hey, you, tell me this. I said, your beauty is about to vanish. You better speak up. No, it's true. Not true. Are you getting my point? So, look, listen. All those things are products of their methods is called sweat of our brows. Are you getting my point? Of our faces. We are trying to walk where favor is not following us. That is, it's when men, when grace has, is not in their life, when cost is following them, they start struggling against, because they, you know, your time must be perfectly in the center. You know, as a preacher, when, you know, you must, you, look, listen, if I come wearing a, you know, if, you know, if I came on a Saturday now, yeah, you know, my t-shirt is squeezed and my shoe is two different colors, and I share revelation and your life is transformed. You know, when you become a preacher, you will get a varying color shoes. You know what I'm saying? So the guy who changed my life, his shoes did not match. Oh, I beg, let me hurry up, Joe. You are making me gist too much. But let me just look, the issue of the curse of the woman, I wanted to say something about it, but look, our time has really gone. So maybe I'll start from that one next time, okay?